City Gas and Electric Company, Hinkley Compressor Station, San Bernardino County, status report on activities concerning chromium contamination from Pacific Gas and Electric Company, Hinkley Compressor Station. I'm a little unclear. Are there presentations? I believe there are with respect to this item. So, again, we can start with those, and then we'll take comments and questions from the public and the audience, and then turn to the board comments and questions. Thank you.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and board members. My name is Lisa Durenbach. I'm a senior engineering geologist specialist out of the board's South Lake Tahoe office, and I'll be presenting agenda item number 4, which is the status report on the activities concerning chromium contamination from the PG&E Hinkley's compressor station. So in my presentation tonight, I'll bring you up to date on the action plan for the western area. I'll also describe the status of the chromium plume, as well as some correspondence that has been distributed since the last status report to you in October. And I'll follow that up with a discussion on the whole house replacement water program, and as well as some correspondence that has occurred. And then also bring you up to date on the supplemental environmental project being implemented by PG&E. And then finally, I'll present to you some next actions that staff is planning for the project. So the last time we met in October, I relayed to you that in August, Water Board staff issued a 13267 investigative order to PG&E during the summer requesting an action plan for chromium detections that were found in the western plume area. And in the follow-up slide, I'll show you the plume area that I'm discussing that we call the western area. And we requested that PG&E submit an action plan to investigate the chromium and also to propose reducing those chromium concentrations. PG&E complied with the order and submitted an action plan. And following our review, we conditionally accepted it, and that's in an October 30th letter, which is enclosure 2 in your agenda packet, and that's our response. And we approved with PG&E to go ahead and sample the Heifer Ranch agricultural well, which appeared to be the source pulling on the chromium plume towards the west. We also agreed with the aquifer pumping test that PG&E was proposing and also recommended that an additional test be added. And we asked that PG&E submit this investigation report with the results to us January 10th, which will be this coming Friday, and also to provide recommendations for reducing the chromium concentrations that occurred in the west. And then we, in that same October 30th letter, we also approved of PG&E's proposal to install 2 replacement injection wells for the Northwest Freshwater Injection System, and that's to occur during this winter. So this is a map that I've shown you before about the chromium that was detected in the western area. And just to remind you, PG&E has a series of injection wells along Sarah Road here, and 2 of these injection wells, 2 and 3, we saw a significant amount of reduced injection rates, and that appeared to maybe affect the effectiveness of the barrier to prevent the chromium being pulled over to the agricultural well at the Heifer Ranch. So PG&E, as I mentioned, proposed replacing these 2 injection wells, and we thought that that was a wonderful idea. And then over here at the agricultural well, they were going to sample the well, see what levels of chromium are being detected, and then also conduct an aquifer pumping test to see what the aerial extent of influence from that pumping well is on the western area. So when we get that investigation report this Friday, we'll also look for the recommendations PG&E is suggesting for reducing the chromium concentrations on the west side of that freshwater injection barrier. As you may recall, a year ago in January 2013, the Water Board Executive Officer issued a cleanup and abatement order to PG&E to better define chromium plume delineation. And throughout 2013, PG&E has installed additional monitoring wells in various locations that we had concerns about to better define the chromium boundaries. And in at the end of October, they submitted a third quarter 2013 monitoring report with the results of that investigation. And what it showed was that monitoring wells were installed in an additional 23 locations and presented the chromium sampling results. And that report contained two chromium plume maps. One is what we refer to as a Water Board compliance map that complied with the cleanup and abatement order, which had very strict plume mapping standards. And then PG&E also provided their alternate interpretation map of what they thought the chromium boundaries implied from the monitoring well data. So Water Board staff evaluated the information in the reports and the maps, as well as referred to other references. And on December 12th, the executive officer issued a letter to PG&E clarifying the plume lines on the map. And that December 12th letter is enclosure 3 in your packet. And it went on to tell PG&E, we agree with you in some areas of the plume lines, and we disagree with you in other areas of the plume line. And would you please submit a revised plume map to us based on these comments by January 3rd, which PG&E did. And so we have a revised plume map, which I'll show you in the next slide. But also that plume map now triggered some other things in other cleanup and abatement orders, and one of which was PG&E was to notify the eligible residents for the whole house replacement water program within 5 days. These are the new people for the expanded plume line, because anytime the plume moves out, it affects a new buffer area of domestic wells in that location. So we received notice from PG&E that those, actually it was just one additional party that was notified that was eligible for the program. And then lastly, the December 12th letter required that PG&E submit a work plan for the next investigation, and that's a requirement that was in January cleanup and abatement order. So we're expecting that work plan a week from Friday on January 17th. And that, so this is the revised chromium plume map that PG&E submitted. And in order to make it fit on this slide, I had to reduce it. And you can see, it's very hard to see any of the details. So what I did was I hand drew in the plume lines that were shown throughout all that data points. And this is the same map that's over here on the wall, which people closer by can see a little more clearly. So what the chromium plume map is showing for third quarter is that the chromium plume has now been defined out to about 8 miles in length and 2 miles long. The 2 miles is still pretty much the same as it always was during 2013, but the 8 miles is now almost 2 miles longer than it was, and it now extends farther into the Harper Lake Dry Valley. We also feel better that there are more areas that were defined in this last investigation, and now the undefined boundaries for the chromium plume are now more limited to the northern Hinckley Valley and the Harper Lake Dry Valley. And I'll show you those locations. So the executive officer's December 12th letter pretty much stated that we believe this area south is defined. We don't believe that any further investigation is necessary. However, where the plume kind of detaches into the northern Hinckley Valley and into the Harper Dry Lake Valley, we feel that there's a couple specific areas that could use some more monitoring wells, better definition. And that's being driven by domestic wells that are in those areas, and we want to make sure that we're protecting the health effects of those domestic well owners. So that's the work plan that's due by PG&E next week. So where I have question marks is where we're asking for additional investigation. And one thing I forgot to include was a question mark here. PG&E had proposed in a prior work plan to install a monitoring well here in the Hinkley Gap. The northern portion of this central plume has a chromium detection of 12 parts per billion, and we don't feel that that should be left hanging without further investigation beyond that. So PG&E is going to make additional attempts to get access to land in the Hinkley Gap there and hopefully maybe get some data from that portion. So, you know, we are seeing progress. We think that it's not going to keep going indefinitely, and we're hoping that maybe next investigation we're going to get good enough results that maybe we can kind of finally set some final limits on the plume. We want to make you aware, however, that PG&E did petition that January cleanup and abatement order for plume delineation. And board staff has been working on a response. We were notified in November from the State Water Board that they intend to hear that petition. And so I wanted to pose some of the objections that PG&E included in their petition, such as I mentioned the strict plume mapping requirements that the order required. And that was primarily based, PG&E, because of the large number of reports we have them provide to us, monitoring reports from their various projects. They use three different consultants, and we were seeing a lot of inconsistencies in reports and map drawings and et cetera. And so the CAO set limits to make reports and mapping more consistent of what's submitted to the Water Board rather than them all be different from the different consultants. PG&E objected to the analysis of increasing trends of chromium that if there was no monitoring well in an area, they were required to do this domestic well sampling to determine the chromium in a domestic well and the potential health threats. The petition objected to the use of data and information being limited to just 3 years. However, in the meantime, during 2013, the executive officer issued a letter to PG that clarified the matter that additional information beyond 3 years could be used, and so that matter seems to be resolved and probably wouldn't be a part of the petition because everyone seems to be happy with how things stand now. And then the other thing is that the board, PG&E feels that the board is setting method and manner of compliance, and we're doing that for investigation, but we're not allowed to do that for cleanup. So PG&E objects on that grounds. And they requested that the state board stay CAO enforcement, meaning not enforce the deadlines that the Water Board had set in the cleanup and abatement order. So all of this will be reviewed. But in the meantime, Water Board staff and PG&E have meetings to discuss our disagreements to see if we can come to any resolution on any matters where it's obvious that we can. But we're required by state board to submit a response by March 3rd. And so if we can resolve these issues before March 3rd, that'll be wonderful. If we can't, well, then we'll submit our petition response to the state board at that time. So I mentioned earlier the PG&E's whole house water replacement program. And that was part of the whole house water order, cleanup and abatement order that was issued in 2012. Of the 368 eligible residences in the order, 35 residences had drinking water filter systems installed. And then two of the residents came back to PG&E and asked that their systems be removed, because unfortunately, even though that they had intended to remain in Hinkley, they ended up being subject to Caltrans buyout for the expanded Highway 58 project. So they had to move, and the systems were removed by PG&E. So of the 263 residents who had chosen the property purchase program offered by PG&E, there's still about an outstanding 100 property owners still in negotiation for property buyout. And then finally, there's about 70 property owners who have opted out of the entire program. They don't want property purchase, and they don't want a water filter system. Some of these people continue to accept PG&E's bottled water. Some haven't. So it's kind of a mixed bag. But one of the messages I want you to take away from the slide is that we've still got a number of residents who still plan to keep Hinckley as their home. The 70 people who have opted out, the people who are still in negotiation, that's been going on for more than a year. And if, you know, negotiations don't occur or they fall apart, those people will likely just stay in place. And then, of course, these people who have operating water filter systems. So, you know, we acknowledge that there has been quite a bit of people who've moved out of the area, but we see that there's still a committed large number of people who want to remain in Hinckley. Want to let you know that at the end of summer, the Water Board received requests from both PG&E and members of the public to modify that whole house replacement water order, specifically the affected area that says where PG&E is to offer the whole house replacement water filter systems. And the executive officer issued a letter to the members of the public and PG&E on November 19th. That's enclosure 4 in your packet. And that letter denied both requests. And the basis for the denial was based on the fact that there were going to be upcoming decisions by the State Department of Public Health for their drinking water standard setting for hexavalent chromium. It's either going to occur in April or June this year if it's following the recent court decision. And then in addition, if the State Board does hear the petition that I mentioned earlier about the plume delineation, then they may make some decisions that may have some overriding impact on the whole house water program. So because those decisions may be upcoming and changing things, the executive office felt it was just might be too complicated for her to also make some changes as well. So we did tell people that the matter could be revisited, but it would be following all the decisions that were likely to occur in the future. Just to let you know that PG&E did petition this decision of the executive officer to the State Board. Regarding the supplemental environmental project that PG&E was implementing to upgrade the school water system at the Hinckley School, I told you before that PG&E had started construction during the fall. There's been a little wrench thrown into the project, and that was from San Bernardino County when they realized that one of PG&E's water supply wells near the compressor station that was proposed to provide the fresh water to the school, it has an arsenic wellhead treatment system on it, but it's an unapproved system by the State Department of Public Health and therefore couldn't be used for community water supply. So they are requiring that a new water supply well be installed. And then they said, oh, by the way, you have to install a backup well too. So two new water supply wells are being required by San Bernardino County. And that's going to extend the system turnover date to the school district. Before, we had told you it was going to be third quarter 2014, but now we're being told by PG&E it's going to be more likely end of 2014. So the next actions that Water Board staff is planning for this project, you heard earlier in the other items that the WDRs will be finalized and that we plan to bring them back for your consideration in March. And then following that, we will start having discussions with PG&E to discuss the need, if it exists, to revise the waste discharge requirements in place for the expanded in situ remediation projects, if that's going to be needed in the future or not. We heard earlier about the background study, so staff will start preparing a contract with the U.S. Geological Survey and work with State Board to get that in place, probably sometime mid-2014. And then in the last item on the waste discharge requirements, we mentioned that if the board was receptive to the idea of chromium plume bulging from the new ag fields that PG&E was proposing, that might require, that we would have to revise the cleanup and abatement order to revise that plume bulging if it's to be allowed. And then in addition, we also had mentioned to you, but we would also prepare another cleanup and abatement order that would provide deadlines and directives to PG&E for additional chromium cleanup in the whole project site-wide. So those are the items that we're planning for the near future, and I'll be glad to answer any questions if you have them. Thank you. I don't have any cards for this item. I have a handful of cards for the public forum, so I turn it over to you, Chair.
Are there any questions from board members? Mr. Dias.
Lisa, I've got a question on your slide number 8.
Yes.
The approximate plume boundaries in the region of Harper Dry Lake Valley. Obviously, we don't have enough data to definitively say there's where the plume boundaries are, but by the dotted lines, does that indicate we've got some data that indicates there is excessive chromium?
That investigation in the Harper Dry Lake Valley was driven by chromium detections in multiple domestic wells in that valley, and they were above the background levels, so we felt it was imperative to investigate that valley further. And the dashed line, you're right, means that it's not completely defined, but we've asked PG&E to submit the work plan for further investigation to the north because we know that there's some more residences up here. And there's a few more residences down here as well. But otherwise, on this boundary, we're feeling pretty good. And this is the location between these two plumes. I said we need further investigation in that Hinkley Gap area. So if we had another monitoring well, we would know whether or not those two dash plume lines are connected or not.
Thank you. No more questions.
I believe there are two more presentations, so I don't know who wants to go next.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Oh, okay.
My name is Dr. Ian Webster. I'm the IRP manager representing the community and helping facilitate communications between the community and PG&E and the Water Board. I've got a few slides here tonight. They're in your package. There might be one modification. I'll point it out to you when I get to it. About 10 slides to go through. One of the takeaways I had from the last meeting here in October was the chairman saying solutions to problems like Hinkley can occur if the parties and stakeholders keep talking. Simple statement, but very true with respect to Hinkley. I I've taken these words to heart, and some of the remarks and some of the slides here are meant to indicate to the board about the effort that the community, the CAC, PG&E, and the Water Board, and the IRP manager do to, quote, keep talking through the Hinkley issues. So tonight I want to talk about communication, the level of effort that the IRP manager puts on to keep the conversation going, discuss a few technical topics, including the plume shape that's always of interest to the community, refer a few things about the background study that Dr. Risbicki presented about 5 hours ago, and wrap up with some issues regarding, again, decision-making in that study. The CAC, to me, as an independent environmental professional and the community, has got an immense appetite for understanding what goes on in this valley. The CAC and its core members meet with myself and a few of my staff members every Thursday night, which to me is a remarkable sustainability throughout this project. And as the IRP manager, we take information we get from PG&E, make judgment calls, and try and give them our best judgment and advice. One of the key things that I've tried to build on through the past 2 years, and quite candidly it's not been easy, is trust. Do they trust what the IRP manager says? I continue to work hard at that. It's sometimes very difficult for obviously community members to understand facts that go against perceptions. But as the IRP manager, we stick to our task about trying to give independent advice. And I think the community, I think the CAC also respects that. We have tried at the community meeting level, which happens once a month, to use highly communicative tools and models to try and explain at the lay level what is happening in this very complicated project. I think anyone here listening here tonight understands the multiple facets of the project, and it's tough every month to try and explain vividly exactly what is going on. So the diagram in front of you is a recent community meeting where we tried to build blocks of the key building blocks of the project as the meeting went on. And we also had a model, a large model of the plume shape that people could stand around, and I used a laser pointer to point out key facts. I think it was effective. To give you an understanding of the level of effort that does go on and the fact that all the stakeholders are committed to transparent, sometimes rocky, but transparent communication, this slide will take you through a few steps of what goes on. Obviously, the two parties that basically is the regulated entity, PG&E, and the regulator, the Water Board. And in general, PG&E submits megabytes, thousands of pages of reports and data to the Water Board for their review. And in turn, the Water Board pushes back and gives their opinions. Hovering over this with the eyeball is the community and the IRP manager. We take our job very seriously in trying to interpret this information in a lay fashion. And conducting this work in the past 2 years, it's been about 20 months since I came on board here, here's some of the stats of the effort that we've undertaken. We've had about 20 monthly community meetings, had about 80 weekly meetings with the CAC and other members who want to show up in the office that PG&E provides for us in Hinkley, and we've reviewed over 30 major reports, and there's other stats given here. So the level of effort is significant, and I don't think I'm being biased by saying that our effort as a kind of interloper into this grand debate between PG&E and the Water Board has helped general understanding and progress within the project. Here's some examples of the reports. Again, there's thousands and thousands of pages that pass through my office, and also including raw data that very courteously PG&E gives to us. Again, back to the trust factor, one of the key, using the facility that's now available to us, one of the key things that we've teased out from the community and the CAC is does the community have confidence and can it trust the data? Data confidence is a huge factor. I personally believe that the raw numbers are accurate, and we plot them to try and verify what PG&E does, and in general we get great overlap. I want to make a specific point here. There was a remark made earlier about extra staff time, back to this issue of trust and confidence. The IRP manager can only go so far in trying to bridge the gap between what PG&E does, what the Water Board's opinions are, and the community's impressions of the data independently. I think that one of the key things has been is that data collected correctly in the field. I believe it is, but I think an independent Water Board presence there, as was previously talked about, through an extra resource from maybe Victorville at select times, might be very, very beneficial in boosting this issue of data confidence and trust. It's not a technical issue, it's a perceptional issue of how the data is collected and managed. My own personal opinion. One of the things, back into the technical issues now, you've seen this plume map a few minutes ago. The CAC and the community is showing this map every month, and I work with them in describing what I consider to be the six main issues of how the plume is managed, such things as hydraulic control, the in-situ process, et cetera, et cetera. So I think the community very much understands that there is a pretty significant monitoring effort going on. This slide, in fact, here was used at the last community meeting, indicating the almost 1,000 monitoring points that's used to measure, admittedly, what is a large, potentially 7 to 8 mile long plume or impacted area. Moving on to the background study that Dr. Risbicki now talked about 6 hours ago. I don't want to belittle the effort that all parties involved in this have taken in the past year to walk through some rocky points and negotiate the scope of the work and reviewing and vetting the proposal that Dr. Risbicki brought to the table. It's also hard to remember, but the CAC and community themselves, as well as PG&E, we're in uniform agreement way back about bringing Dr. Risbicki in. So the 12-month journey of scope definition has been sometimes rocky, but the end result, as Dr. Risbicki presented tonight, has been well planned out and thought about. The takeaway for you is that my message from the CAC and the community to you is that the community, as said before, fully endorses and buys into Dr. Risbicki conducting the work and the plan he has for collecting the data. It's a key, if you, 10 days from now, if you're driving down the freeway and you think about this meeting, remember that the community endorses Dr. Risbicki's activities in the background study. Enough said that. One of the things that the community does understand is the lateral scope of the program and the enhanced scientific analytical tools that Dr. Risbicki will bring to the process. The community is also, quote, buying into Dr. Risbicki's work. They also fully understand, I think it was a remark of one of the board members, that the data may come back in the favor of their perceptions, and it may also come back contrary to their perceptions, but they are willing to live with the results of the information. And I'm putting that on the record. Another key component that was discussed heartily and has been condensed into a decision tree here, and it may differ slightly given the ever-evolving nature of the decision tree, who does what at certain points in the project, and can the project be modified as what, quote, as actionable information is defined? We had hours of discussion over the issue of actionable information, verifiable, solid, scientifically based actionable information, and what can happen with that. I made a previous remark about who is the decider on such issues. Well, the decider on what information is possibly solid and scientifically accurate is Dr. Risbicki. Obviously, that then goes to the technical working group and to then the Water Board for decision as to what you will do with it. But one of the key things about this, the process for the management of the background study is that all parties agree that an adaptive, there's that word again, adaptive management process will be followed, and that's embodied in this decision tree. There's a feedback loop, yes, that can affect the scope of it. Should information be discovered that is dramatically changing our opinions and our perceptions of, for example, where the plume is now. And that remark I just made also represents a change in evolution of the community's thinking, the CAC's thinking, during the discussion and the scope of work in the past year. The community was, and the CAC especially, were adamant that the four-year study should go ahead to its end, and then the results would pop out and actions would be taken. But through discussions with PG and the Water Board, this feedback loop has now been included into the process, which I think is reflective, again, of adaptive management as the study progresses. Very healthy, in my opinion. One other component that I want you to take away regarding the background study, Dr. Rizbicki talked about Task 8. It was, again, heavily debated within the parties about its Chrome 3 reconversion. For example, in the IRZ area, where Chrome 6 at higher concentrations is taken to basically zero, Chrome 6 at high concentrations is taken to basically Chrome 3, leaving zero Chrome 6 around. Could inflowing oxygenated water from the south cause potentially a reconversion of the in-situ located Chrome 3 back to Chrome 6? That topic will be investigated, as Dr. Rizbicki discussed. But the parties are all aware that there have been many attempts to, I guess, pin the tail on this donkey during the past couple of years. And we are now relying upon the results of this Task 8 to be the final, best and final results as they apply to the Hinkley Project. No more what ifs. Dr. Rizbicki's work here will be the final and definitive answer as it applies to Hinkley groundwater Chrome 6 remediation. So my grand conclusions are, as the chair said, we taking his guidance, we keep talking. And I showed you the volume of talking that goes on, and I think it's been healthy for the project. And I also thank the parties for also participating in these talks, for conducting them sometime in a very professional manner. Trust building and confidence in data is still an issue that is hanging out there and compromises more improved understanding of scientific conditions, data confidence, and trust in the data. The CAC will accept, third conclusion, the CAC will accept the results of Dr. Rizbicki's work. And we also, again, in conclusion, thank the board for listening to the CAC's opinions and foibles and remarks through the years. And we hope we can continue for presence in the project. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you very much. There is one more presentation, I believe, but before we get to that, I'd like to take a short, maybe 5-minute break, and then we'll hear that presentation, respond to this, and then move to public forum.
Brain dance. Can't hurt.
I believe we have a presentation from PG&E.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Hi, Kevin Sullivan, PG&E. I will keep this very brief in just a late hour. You heard the primary thing I wanted to talk about today, which was the farm swap concept and where we're going. In addition to the topics you've heard about tonight, I just wanted to make you aware of a little bit of the level of effort. We'll be submitting 12 separate submittals to the Water Board during January alone. It's about once every 2 days. It's everything from revised plume maps, work plans, permit comments, and the like. So we've been pretty busy. It was, I guess, artfully time managed so that all the balls were in our court over the holidays. I don't know if that's something that was planned or not. But it's been good progress. I feel like we're advancing on a lot of different fronts, both technically and from a remediation perspective. In the field, you heard Lisa's update. We've got all the whole house water units installed. We're moving ahead with the school water project aggressively. We've also had the Yang pivot operating. Very sensitive microphone. that's the linear pivot. It's a new type that we're optimistic is going to become very useful for our long-term cleanups. We've been running that now for about 8 months. We've also been working on the biopermitting, and then try this. And then two items on the community side. There are a large number of residents who are going to be staying around. We've been working in two areas. One is the Career Institute. We've had half a dozen folks doing basic job training skills. We've been working on matters related to our land management and whatnot. These are a bunch of young people who are coming out. We're basically working with the Career Institute to give them a first shot in the job market, basic interviewing skills. It's something that a lot of our staff find it really rewarding. And then we also did a community cleanup, working with the residents of Hinckley. It was a pretty large effort. Ended up pulling, I think, something like 2,500 tires out. This is just cleaning up abandoned place around the house. We just helped to facilitate that. Most of the legwork was done, by members of the community. So I think there's been some real good things that have been, hopefully laying the basis for positive work in the future. So thank you for your time. Thank you for your efforts. And I'll turn it back to the next presentation.
Thank you.
All right. I'll turn that off. Let's see if we can just have one on at a time.
We have what appears to be a request off the agenda for another presentation. And I'm in looking at it, it appears that this might be more appropriately public forum, although at this point in time it probably doesn't make a huge amount of difference what order things are taken in. But just for future understanding, one of the things that we try to do to put together the agenda and agenda packages is to know in advance who wishes to make a formal presentation to the board, because we want people to have the opportunity to do that. We also want to, if there's going to be materials and things, to sort of fit that in a place where the materials can be made available in advance, if possible, and looked at. At this point in time, I think it probably makes no difference to say, oh no, this is a public forum, and so you're going to have to wait 38 seconds and then come back under another number. So with the consent of the other board members, I don't see any reason why we can't take this now as part of the status update and go from there.
Mr. Chairman, board members, thank you again. I apologize for the confusion, but I thought that we had delivered it to you guys, and it was part of the agenda, so I apologize for the confusion. Basically, this is kind of a year-end review from the Community Advisory Committee, some issues that we've discussed and some of the things that have been happening in the community within the last year. So, what do I do?
You
want to do it, please? I don't know. Stop talking before I do something else. So that way. Whoops. So very messed up. Okay, so I don't need to go over the notes. We'll just go over the stuff. Currently, we have seven CAC members: Gustavo Blau, local business owner, a resident, his daughter, Delia, I always mess up her name. Yeah, Delia, I always mess up her name. I apologize. Betty Hernandez, who's retired. Myself, Darren Banks, resident, teacher at Barstow High School. Omar Nasir, who is a property owner. Lester White is resident, and Larry Greek, who's a retired resident. We also have two current new applications that we'll be hopefully voting two more new people on the community advisory committee, which is good, which shows that others are interested in participating in it. They probably don't realize what the app coming, but we'll do our best to get them somewhat caught up. So some of our issues and some of the things that we're talking about right now, currently the CAO requires PG&E to contour the plume with monitoring wells that are no more than 2,600 feet, correct? 2,600 feet apart. That wasn't my mistake. It was Project Navigator. PG&E will drill new monitoring wells that are greater than 26. The issue is that you guys give them this order, and then, like in the east, 2,600 feet. Well, they'll drill well 2,700 feet with data gaps in between. So you have that distance of 100 feet. According to your order, it doesn't connect the dots. Well, if they're not going to follow the order and put the wells in to where they can be a part of the cleanup and abatement order, then the 2,700 feet should be allowed as part of the order. I do realize in the last few weeks, and even recently as of the last few days, we've gotten letters from the Water Board to discuss some of these issues, but there needs to be much further discussion on these. It's issues like that the CAC has problems with. You know, it makes no sense. We worked very hard to and spent a lot of time to find out the truth, and the community has been that 3.1. PG&E did their background study. The Lahontan Water Board established the higher level of average, which was 3.1, instead of the medium at 1.2 or somewhere around there. So at the high levels, we've been fighting really hard to help out these people in the community that have these chromium 6 levels that never really had them before. Either it's we can show that they had lower levels and it went to that, or it's data that's never been found, because PG&E doesn't want that. They want to contain that data here. It's not just since the last few years that you guys have said, hey, look, let's start monitoring out these, put these wells out. And that's when we're finding the areas that we're getting these levels of what was established a 3.1 background. Now that we're doing that, we come up with these new rules that say, okay, well, the 3.1 background works for the Hinckley Valley, except for outside of these small lines where PG&E doesn't want. Okay, well, the community has had to live with those and it's affected the community greatly. And now when PG&E doesn't like it, the rules have changed. You know, that's an issue we hope to discuss in the next few days in other meetings and in the future. So, effects on the community over the past year. Over the past year, there have been many changes to the Hinckley community. Of course, everybody knows our school closed. Many people have moved away. Houses have been torn down. And there's still a lot of distrust in the community. And trust me, it's issues that we have to deal with on the CAC too, because it's been a process and an education. You know, me trying to explain to some people in the community that, hey, there is natural chromium 6 out there, I become an agent of PG&E. I mean, it just, and my personal goal, and I feel the goal of the CAC, is we want the truth, period. Okay, and we want it to be fair, and we want you guys to be consistent with your orders and follow through what you've done in the past, not change the rules in the middle of the game. The whole house water system issues. Current installed systems have been compromised, causing residents to be without water due to freezing. So we get cold out here in the desert. So there was many residents, I don't know how many, that their systems froze up. They weren't able to get water for one person, I know, for at least 3 days. At least that's what I was told. Maybe somebody can confirm the time. But drinking water limits have been exceeded in nitrates. Ambiguity on what residents have been declined a system and what residents still want one. So I've personally talked to several residents that have said, you know, hey, look, 2 years ago, PG&E came to talk to me. They offered me a price of the property, and there's no way I could take it. I owe more, or that's not enough, or whatever. So I flat out told them I wanted the water system. Well, the excuse comes back to you guys that, you know, hey, we couldn't get a hold of them, or, you know, we had no communication, or we're still in negotiation for buying when there's been no communication for over a year. And then the time for the order to be, the loss replacement order to be over, they should have complied to all your requests. I've talked to two people personally that this has happened, so we know that there's more out there. You know, they don't have a system, and it's PG&E says, well, we're still in current negotiations, but they haven't talked to them in over a year. That's not current negotiations, okay? And a lot of these people are, they don't communicate well. Their houses may not be the nicest. They're not necessarily most educated. So in my opinion, they've been taken advantage of due to some of those issues, social, economic issues. The CEC and the community would like the water board to oversee. We discussed about that, and I'm not requesting somebody, you know, be there every week, you know, Monday through Friday, but it's obvious both for our benefit and your benefit, being able to communicate more directly to somebody closer to our area that we can have, and we've asked this in the past. Work directly into the enforcement team. Lori and Lisa, they're all great. You know, Patty, they're all great. But having somebody here that can come in and watch some of and look at some of these things and have a closer communication, it doesn't sound like to me it's a money issue. You know, that seems to be the problem why we can't get somebody going. You know, it doesn't make sense. You know, for the community and us, it's quality assurance. It's quality control. So you guys are the ones that are enforcing and need to make the rules, so it makes more sense to the community. On December 5th, the CAC submitted 3 letters to the water board. Really recently, we did get a response on some of them, and we hope to have much more dialogue because we felt like all the data was not looked at to come to these latest determinations about the East and the Southwest. There's a whole bunch of questions to that, and they're scientific and they're real questions, but the community and the CAC wasn't part of the communication that led to those decisions. At least that's the way we feel. And so I think that and the way that letter is written to define those is it's wrong because it's confusing because at some points it says, like directly it'll say, so from Hinckley West to whatever road is part of PG&E's contamination continuous plume. Hinckley east of that isn't part of there. And so when you write things like that, it greatly affects people in the community because, first of all, there's a lot of us out there that we know for sure 3 years ago we had 90 tech, and we saw, and then we see levels. Or from PG&E's, the bulging effect or the pushing and pulling effect, which happens continuously and has happened continuously for years, has affected all of that. You set a standard of 3.1, the community and the CAC expected that standard to continue until we get a real background number from Dr. Izbicki and the USGS. And I've personally been told by staff members that we're not going to mess with that 3.1 number until we're not going to change it, we're not going to do anything until we get more scientific proof that that's what it is. Well, hold them accountable to that number. We'll just skip through that. The CAC is working to present our community. The Hinckley Community Advisory Committee has been committed to providing input to the Lahontan Water Board, Pacific Gas and Electric, and the Hinckley community for the last, this slide doesn't really make sense. Basically, what we want and what we would like to see is there's still a huge need, and there's still a lot of confusion, there's still a lot of distrust. A lot of it has to do with other people in the community. The bottom line is we really appreciate your guys' support in many things, but we also feel that in some ways there's decisions that have been made that, especially recently, that really aren't that fair. The need for the maps, a lot of discussions came up on the maps. The maps that PG&E puts out are very confusing, can be very cluttered, and I've got a lot more experience at looking at those maps than the majority of the community, and they're still confusing to me at times. So there's often time that we ask the IRP manager to do a clarifying using the data provided by PG&E maps for us. That makes it more presentable and less confusing for the community. Those are the things that the IRP manager is doing for the community. And like I said, the IRP manager is going to be part of the mapping for the background study, which is going to be a huge part. We're going to have a person there that's going to be able to explain the course of the study, what's happening, what's going on. So we would love for continued support with our IRP manager, and thank you very much.
Are there questions or comments from board members regarding agenda item, whatever it is, four? Mr. Jardine?
No questions.
Ms. Cox?
Yes, sir.
Dr. Horn?
Yeah, I have a comment. Well, first of all, I just want to say the audience has amazing stamina for sitting through all of this, and thank you very much for hanging in there, and I hope you feel that this time was well spent. And thank you to the interpreters. Likewise, you have amazing stamina for hanging in there through all of this very complicated material. This, to my mind, is the single biggest issue for the Lahontan Board south of the Conway Summit. Their microphones aren't working anymore, but this is the most important issue in front of the Lahontan Board south of the Conway Summit. And it is one of the most complex issues that I can remember in the time I've been on the board. There have been other complicated issues, but this is definitely up there. Wouldn't you agree, Mr. Sandel? Yes.
Absolutely.
Given that, it makes no sense to me that there's no Victorville staff involved in this project. That seems to me there has to be something between zero PYs and one PY. That there needs to be someone on the ground who can answer questions. I don't know how much is required for participating in the what Mr. Banks was referring to as the QAQC, but it is important for the community to have trust in the data that's being gathered. That's foundational to all of this work. So there's also no bright line between the PG&E situation and the community of Hinckley. Every time I come here, I hear from community members who have an issue that isn't really related to PG&E, but it might be. It's sort of confusing. And there needs to be staff people here in Victorville who they can go to and talk to and help them get their problems resolved. So that's my comment.
Mr. Dias.
I turned it off again.
None, thank you.
Mr. Sandel.
Nothing, thanks.
I just have one quick comment, which is to echo Dr. Horn. You guys are amazing. I continue to be marveled at the level of involvement of the people in this community.
I just make one comment about the question of who is the decider, and that is, I suppose at some point in time things could play out so that this board had to be in the position of deciding things for the community. But that's, I don't think, speaking for myself at least, that's not the approach that I hope that we're going to end up taking. It doesn't seem to be the pathway that we're on. The best decisions that could be made are not decisions made for the community or put on the community. They're decisions that the community was actively involved in arriving at, so that when we come to say, this is what we think a resolution of this issue or that issue or whatever regarding Hinckley should look at, it doesn't come or look like, doesn't come as a big shock to the people of the community, because the people of the community were involved in crafting it. And I salute you for stepping up to the plate and getting involved in that process. It is not easy. It's clearly a huge amount of time and energy is involved. But I think in the long run, if we have a product that we all say we can live with that, we can accept that, that we're better off than saying somebody's just going to have to make some kind of decision that the community hasn't been involved in. So thank you. Thank you for your participation. Next item on the agenda is item